Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons, part of the Locked On Network. For those of you who haven't been listening until now, this is our fourth episode. It is August 9th, 2016. I highly recommend you check out our first episode. Looked back at the Pistons' 10 big offseason moves, ranking them all worst to first. It's a great way to catch up on everything you missed or were paying attention to during the offseason. You can find that on Audio Boom or iTunes. And while you're there, why don't you just subscribe to the podcast and leave us a rating? For now, though, let's get to it with a couple new pieces of information that have come out about the Pistons. The big piece of news from the last few days, Tom Gores did an interview with Vince Ellis of the Detroit Free Press, and he was talking about Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's potential contract extension. And Tom Gores, the Pistons owner, said he'd be willing to pay the luxury tax if that's what it takes to keep the core together. But before we dig into that, I want to go into something that got a little bit less attention, but I think plays into the same idea. Stan Van Gundy did a radio interview on The Drive with Jack Ebling. It was a good interview. I highly recommend you check it out. The interview was August 4th, if you're looking for it. And Van Gundy was talking about Boban Marjanovic, who the Pistons signed this summer. Looks sort of like he'll be the third center on the roster behind Andre Drummond and Aaron Baines. And they paid a pretty sizable price. Marjanovic got a 3-year, $21 million offer sheet, which the Spurs didn't match. The Pistons had to go over the top a little bit to ensure that the Spurs wouldn't match. And that seems a little bit high for a third center. Now, I really like Marjanovic. I think he's got great potential. I think he's already very good. I think he's worth that money, and you just get him if you can get him, and context doesn't matter all that much. I think it's a very good price for him. But Van Gundy brought up an excellent point, and this is what I think has separated him a little bit from the typical president slash coach, you know, from the Doc Riverses of the world. The Pistons probably can't re-sign Aaron Baines next summer. He's got a $6.5 million player option that he's almost a lock to lock out of, barring injury or some huge regression in his play. And because he's only been on the Pistons 2 years, the Pistons only have his early bird rights, not his full bird rights. So that means the Pistons can give him a contract that starts at 175% of his previous salary, or they'd have to use cap space to re-sign him. 175% of his previous salary is $11,375,000. That'd be his starting salary. That'd be his salary in 2017-18 if the Pistons could re-sign him through early bird rights. He could get 4.5% raises and up to a 4-year contract, which is the same thing any other team can offer. Unlike full bird rights, teams don't get the advantage of higher 7.5% raises, and they don't get the advantage of being able to offer a fifth year. Not that the Pistons would probably want to offer Baines a fifth year anyway. He'll be 30 next summer. I'm not quite as convinced that the Pistons are going to lose Aaron Baines. Not sure other teams are going to be out there offering him $12 million if they want to bring him back on early bird rights. Maybe the Pistons can do it. But it's a real possibility, very real. And Van Gundy brought it up and basically said, Marjanovic is probably the third center this year. And he's viewed as Aaron Baines' replacement, that the Pistons are thinking ahead. And I think that's what president coaches most often struggle with. They're not always thinking ahead in that way. And Van Gundy is guilty of this at sometimes, but sort of in a way that works. But it's what player can you get right now who helps your team right now? Don't worry too much about the future. Van Gundy sees it a little differently. He gets Marjanovic under contract now when the Pistons have cap space, when they have a little bit of money to spend, just the way things are structured with escalating salaries throughout most of the roster. there's not going to be that same cap space available next summer to get a replacement for Aaron Baines. So sign Marjanovic now, have a better third center than you need, and that'll pay off a year from now. Like the logic all around. And that gets us back to Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Caldwell-Pope's eligible for a rookie scale contract extension. Next season, he'll make about $3.7 million in the final year of his rookie contract. That's locked in. He could sign an extension that would start in 2017-2018. And I think there's a decent chance he'll get one. A big reason teams don't offer contract extensions to players they like, and I think the Pistons like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, is because their salary in the first year of the extension would become their cap hold on day one of that offseason. So on July 1st, 2017, if Kentavious Caldwell-Pope signs a contract extension, his cap hold will be his 2017-2018 salary. If he does not sign an extension, his cap hold is a percentage of his previous salary, and there's a formula to figure that out. If you're more interested in that specific formula, check out Larry Kuhn's Frequently Asked Questions. But for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, it'd be about $9.2 million. He is going to be worth way more than $9.2 million. Probably closer to triple that than double it. But it's going to probably be in the range of between double and triple. So the Pistons, if they don't extend him, they could hold him at $9.2 million, use whatever that difference is in cap space of what he's going to sign for, and then use his bird rights, because they have his full bird rights, to exceed the cap to re-sign him. The reason that's not particularly beneficial for the Pistons is because the Pistons are probably going to be over the cap regardless. They have Andre Drummond, Tobias Harris, Reggie Jackson, John Luer, Boban Marjanovic, Ish Smith, Marcus Morris, Stanley Johnson, Henry Ellenson, Josh Smith's cap hold. They'll still be there until 2020. So there's a lot of salaries already on the books. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's max salary in 2017-2018 projects to be about $24 million. So that's a difference of about $16 million from his $9 million cap hold. It'd be nice to have an extra $16 million to spend, but the big catch is, whether that $16 million is on the books or not, the Pistons probably aren't going to have substantial cap space. Or really maybe any cap space. So if you can get Caldwell-Pope under a reasonable contract extension, where he's going to take a little less money than everybody thinks he could get on the open market in exchange for that security, maybe you do it. You probably do in this situation. You save money over the life of his probably 4-year, I guess we can talk about the potential of a 5-year contract extension. Lose flexibility that you probably wouldn't have had anyway in the summer of 2017. Now, this is a rare case because the salary cap has gone up so drastically so quickly, most teams are going to have cap room next summer. So when they're negotiating with their rookie scale extension eligible players, the math is different. Because that difference between the cap hold and the player salary, that's going to matter for those teams. It is probably not going to matter for the Pistons. Part of the reason it's not going to matter is because they've already signed Boban Marjanovic. They've already signed John Luer to a multi-year deal. They've signed Ish Smith to a multi-year deal. You know, they went into this summer willing to spend and even to take it back. You know, Stan Van Gundy's repeatedly said Tobias Harris. He looks at Tobias Harris as the first free agent signing of 2016 for the Pistons when they traded for him during last season. Tobias Harris's salary will be on the books for next season and the season after. So they've committed to spending on this core. But here's the big problem. If you extend Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's contract, based on some reasonable estimates for his salary, getting near his projected $24 million max, the Pistons are going to be right around the luxury tax line, maybe. The big catch is we don't know what the luxury tax line is going to be. It's not determined until next offseason. The projection right now is $122 million. At this point in the year, the NBA's projections tend to be conservative, so that probably will go up throughout the course of the year, but that's not known. Doesn't have to. It all depends on how much revenue the NBA takes in the next year and how much, to a small degree, how much teams spend on players, because there's an adjustment based on that. But the main thing is going to be revenue, because all the spending, for the most part, has already been done this summer. The other big catch is either the players or owners can opt out of the collective bargaining agreement by December 15th of this year, and that would go into effect in 2017. So they'd have to come up with a new agreement, could have completely different calculations for how the luxury tax is calculated. Who knows? I mean, they could do anything. But based on what we know now, if the Pistons keep Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, they're going to be around the luxury tax line. And Tom Gore says he's fine with that. Well, the Pistons have really not paid the luxury tax. This is not who they are. They've been a team where their de facto hard salary cap pretty much has been the luxury tax line. I think most fans would assume they've never paid it, because that's sort of been the rhetoric around the team. They did pay it once. It was during their championship season. They traded for Rasheed Wallace mid-year, and they were $750,000 or so into the luxury tax. Very minimal. The bigger impact is they didn't get the check from the luxury tax-paying teams that year in the way it worked then. But it was 1 year, and they won a championship. Otherwise, the Pistons have not been a team to venture in the luxury tax. But if Tom Gores wants to do it, great. That's fantastic. More power to him. It's always a great thing for fans when an owner is willing to spend. You know, I don't have any problem with him spending his money. It's not my money. I don't know if it's worth it. It'd be worth it to me to do it. It can get a little punitive. It can get a little limiting from a basketball building operation standpoint. But it's so limited. It's so minimal for this team. You know, if he's willing to pay it, that's great. And it gives the Pistons and Stan Van Gundy flexibility to go into negotiations with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, knowing that that is not a hard line, that they don't have to limit themselves to an offer that's clearly below the luxury tax, which would have to be a pretty low offer because, again, we don't know what the tax will be. If the Pistons were really worried about the luxury tax, the offer to Caldwell-Pope would have to be low because the tax could, who knows? It could be a different system. The NBA might want to promote parity and put in a stricter tax. Maybe the players agree to that in exchange for something else. And next thing you know, the Pistons are well above the luxury tax line. The Pistons are one of the teams that has the highest committed payroll for next season. Other teams are not in that boat. And when the owners vote for what they want, they're not looking out in the Pistons' best interest. They're looking out for their own best interest. And collectively, there are more owners with room to maneuver who could outvote the Pistons and the Trailblazers and the small number of teams who have big money committed to next season already. A downside from the team's perspective on this just a little bit, but Tom Gores comes out and says this, well, Caldwell-Pope knows that the Pistons are willing to spend for him. That's going to impact negotiations. I think the flip side, if this is just posturing at all, is that it could also help with trade talks. In that, potentially, if the Pistons are saying, all right, we're willing to pay the tax if it comes to it because we really like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, he's an excellent defender, he can defend point guards. When he's going, he's a good three-point shooter. We want to keep him. We don't want to mess around. If we can get him to sign a long-term contract extension this summer without things like a player option or a trade kick or any of those other things that could happen if he hits restricted free agency in an offer sheet, we want to do it. Then they can go into those negotiations and extend them. They could also look to trade somebody to get back under the tax line, and that could be a long-term thing you know, especially trading somebody next summer once it's clear where the tax line is and whether it's even necessary. You know, John Luehr at $10.5 million next year coming off the bench, if that's the difference between the tax or not, if it looks like Tobias Harris and Marcus Morris and Stanley Johnson and can handle minutes between the three and four when you want to go small and Henry Ellenson's ready to take the next step and maybe be that primary stretch, bigger power forward and somebody who can play some center, if he's ready to replace Luehr, even if he's a slight downgrade from Luehr where Luehr is then, maybe Luehr at $10.5 million is just too much of a luxury and the Pistons look to trade him. Now Stan Van Gundy can go into those trade talks and nobody's going to try and screw him over by saying, well, we know you need to get over the under the luxury tax line. We're not going to give you fair value for Luehr, whoever else it is, because we know you've got to get under this line. You've got to trade somebody. Van Gundy can negotiate saying, hey, my owner publicly said if we have to pay the tax, we'll pay the tax. You know, you can trade Luehr for value, a future draft pick, somebody on a lower contract. You can do something with it. So Gores is empowering a lot of people with what he said. He empowered Van Gundy to spend big this summer on guys like Boban Marjanovic, John Luehr, Ish Smith on multi-year deals. Gores empowered Kentavious Caldwell-Pope to ask for more money in contract extension negotiations. And he empowered Van Gundy to make more favorable trades going forward because other teams can't credibly say, hey, we know you're worried about the luxury tax. Make us this lopsided trade to get under it. They're going to have to give up value. So it's a pretty big statement from Gores. We'll see whether he actually ever pays the luxury tax, whether he'll actually be in position to pay it. The Pistons have, you know, beyond Caldwell-Pope, several players locked up for multiple more years. The cap is probably only going to go up in 2018-2019 from the previous season, although there's a lot that could happen with how negotiations go. The Pistons are probably going to be clear of the luxury tax 2 years from now. Next year's sort of the issue. We'll see how it comes up, but it's a pretty powerful statement from Tom Gores. One fan should be excited about it. Puts the team in a better spot. It shows their willingness to spend, or at least says it. We'll see what happens with the action, but every time Tom Gores has said something about a willingness to spend, even in previous years when I think he was, you know, losing some money on this team and there was potential to keep spending down, he spent. Not into the luxury tax, but he spent. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say this is real. And now the next step is seeing how all the parties affected by this react to this real statement or potentially real statement. So that's it for our fourth episode of Locked On Pistons. Thanks everyone for listening. Like I said at the beginning of the show, if you haven't listened to our first episode, an off-season review, ranking every Pistons move of the 2016 summer, worst to best, check that out. It'll catch you up on everything we're talking about from here on out. Right now, the show is twice a week. As we get closer to the season, we're going to be daily Monday to Friday, so you can look forward to that. In the meantime, you can get all set up by following us on Audio Boom or subscribing on iTunes. Thanks very much.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.